जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Jagatnatha Jagatnatha Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Parivajaka Acharya Shruta Shatya Shri Srimati's Divine Grace. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chevam Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiriyet Nashta Praishu Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya Bhagavate Ruttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 13, Text Number 26, and the behavior of a perfect person. Tatrapidam patni namcha. Tatrapidam pati namcha. Sukhaya anya panvitaye. Sukhaya anya apanutaye karmani karvatam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyam tatrapi dampatinam cha sukhyaya nyaapnutaye karmani kurvatam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyayam tatrapi dampati nam cha sukhyaya nyaapnutaye karmani kurvatam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyayam. Tatrapi dampati nam cha sukhaya anyapanutaye karmani kurvitam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyayam. Tatrapi dampati nam cha sukhyaya anyapanutaye karmani kurvatam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyayam. Tatrapi dampati nam cha sukhyanya punude karmani kurvatam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyayam. Tatrapi dampati nam cha sukhyanya apanude karmani kurvatam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyayam. Tatrapi dampati nam cha sukhyaya anyapanute karmani kurvatam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyayam. Tatra, there. Api, also. Dampatinam, of man and woman united by marriage. Cha, and. Sukhaya, for the sake of pleasure. Specifically, the pleasure of sex life. Anya apa nutaye, for avoiding misery. Karmani, fruitive activities. Kurvatam, always engaged in. Drishtva, by observing. Nivritta asmi, I have now ceased from such activities. Viparyayam, the opposite. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this human form of life, men and women unite for the sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. Purport. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yan Methunadi Graha Medi Sukham Hi Tucham. In Srimad Bhagavatam, same canto, chapter 9, text number 45, men and women both seek sexual enjoyment. And when they are united by the ritualistic ceremony of marriage, they are happy for some time. But finally, there is dissension. And thus, there are so many cases of separation and divorce. Although every man and woman is actually eager to enjoy life through sexual unity, the result is disunity and distress. Marriage is recommended to give men and women a concession for restricted sex life, which is also recommended in Bhagavad Gita by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamo asmi. Sex life not against the principles of religion is Krishna. Every living entity is always eager to enjoy sex life because materialistic life consists of eating, sleeping, sex, and fear. In animal life, eating, sleeping, sexual enjoyment, and fear cannot be regulated. But for human society, the plan is that although man, like animals, must be allowed to eat, sleep, enjoy sex, and take protection from fear, they must be regulated. The Vedic plan for eating recommends that one take yajna shishta or prasada, food offered to Krishna. Yajna shishta shishta si naha santo muchiyante sarva kilibhise. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food that is offered first for sacrifice. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 13. In material life, one commits sinful activities, especially in eating, and because of sinful activities, one is condemned by nature's laws to accept another body, which is imposed as punishment. Sex and eating are essential, and therefore they are offered to human society under Vedic restrictions, so that according to the Vedic injunctions, people may eat, sleep, enjoy sex, be protected from fearful life, and gradually be elevated and liberated from the punishment of material existence. Thus, the Vedic injunctions of marriage offer a concession to human society. The idea being that a man and woman united in a ritualistic marriage ceremony should help one another advance in spiritual life. Unfortunately, especially in this age, men and women unite for unrestricted sexual enjoyment. Thus, they are victimized, being obliged to take rebirth in the forms of animals to fulfill their animalistic propensities. The Vedic injunctions therefore warn, Nayam deho deha bhajam narkloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujamye. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text Number 1. One should not enjoy sex life like hogs and eat everything, even to the limit of stool. A human being should eat prasada offered to the deity and should enjoy sex life according to the Vedic injunctions. He should engage himself in the business of Krishna consciousness. He should save himself from the fearful condition of material existence. And he should sleep only to recover from fatigue due to working hard. The learned Brahmana said that since everything is misused by fruitive workers, he had retired from all fruitive activities. Om Gyan Timurandhasya Gyan Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vancha Kalpa Terubhasha Kirpa Sindhu Vayai Vacha Patita Nam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I'll read translation one more time. In this human form of life, men and women unite for the sensual pleasure of sex. But by actual experience, we have observed that none of them are happy. Therefore, seeing the contrary results, I have stopped taking part in materialistic activities. So when I was reading this text yesterday in my preparation, I realized that through these purports, Bhaktivedanta purports, Srila Prabhupada is highlighting a very clear distinction between a regulated life and
unregulated life, between the life of a devotee and the life of a non-devotee. The life of a person who is totally attached to material possessions, and a life of a person who is not detached, who's detached. So attachment versus detachment, discipline versus indiscipline. So these are the things which Srila Prabhupada is highlighting for us. And another interesting thing which I realize is that almost all over Srimad Bhagavatam, it produces the conversations or the discussions taking place between, most of the time, between two exalted personalities or two or more exalted personalities. So by their discussion, by what they are talking, we can learn how one should lead one's life. So their discussions are not just mundane discussions. Their discussions are full of substance. And they are actually letting us know how we can lead our life in a disciplined way and according to the injunctions of the scriptures. So here in this particular text, there is a lot of discussion about men and women uniting for sensual pleasure. But Prabhupada in purport also talks about eating and other propensities which animals and we also as human beings have. So if we try to think life being led in a disciplined way versus the life which is totally indisciplined, how do we feel? I mean, we are all grown-ups, adults. We are engaged in some activities, some services, and so on. So if we think that leading a disciplined life is too restrictive, you know, very, very regimental, so how nice it would be if there was no discipline. So there are people who think like that also. So I was just trying to imagine that, you know, it is like driving on the streets. So if there were no rules and regulations, then you can imagine how the traffic would be. And if you go to India, you can actually see that. Even though rules and regulations are there, but nobody really follows them. And as a result, a distance of 1 mile can sometimes take more than half an hour to cover because there are so many chaos of the traffic and people are just blocking each other. Everybody seemingly is in big hurry and they don't really want to wait for a minute for let the other person go. And in the end, it will help everybody, but because we feel that, oh, no, I have, you know, I'm more, I have more priority, so I don't care about others. So by leading a indisciplined life, we are going to create a chaos in the society. There is a in Hindi there is a word called jungle raj. So that means the way things are in a jungle. So I was just thinking about it. I was just trying to compare the life in a jungle and of animals and life in cities or life where of human beings. And interestingly, I felt that even animals live a very disciplined life. They there may not be any written rules and regulations for them, but nature has taught them. There are rules and regulations of nature. And animals, by their instinct, understand them and follow them. And as a result, we find that there is no scarcity of food for the animals. They get enough to eat. Very rarely it happens that animals are dying of hunger. You know, even the animals who have to kill other animals for their food, they don't kill them for pleasure. They kill them only when they are hungry. Otherwise, they do not do that. So even animals, even though they do not have a written book of laws, they still lead a disciplined life. Whereas we as human beings, there are so many rules and regulations for us. And the beauty is that we have people who are ready to explain that to us as well. There are facilities available, such as, you know, Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's purports, discussions in our temples, and so on, discourses. But still, human beings decide just to ignore those rules and regulations. And they feel that just by ignoring them, they are going to, their life is going to be much more full of enjoyment, and they will be more happy. But Prabhupada says here, and even the Brahmana who is in discussion with Prahlad Maharaj says, that the opposite is true. All these unregulated activities, for momentarily we may feel that I have the right to do it and I'm doing what I want to do, but eventually it is leading to unhappiness and discord in the society. And it is visible. It is not that it is not visible. We can see that what's happening around us is a result of leading this unregulated life. And it goes also about the attachments. So Prabhupada gives a very nice example. In one of the classes, he talks about the so-called transition from brahmachari ashram to grihastha ashram. So he said one has to be extremely careful. Otherwise, what happens? One gets married. Marriage means you have to get a house to live. Once you have a house to live, you want children. Once you have children, then you need money to raise them. You need material possessions. There is prestige issue involved, and so on and so forth. So there is no end to it. So one can easily get entangled into all these mundane materialistic activities if one is not careful. So here also in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada is highlighting the importance of leading a regulated life. So our scriptures practically allow whatever is necessary for us, but in a regulated way. So a very good example is of food. Now, we have very nice prasadam in our temple. And, you know, the Rasika Manjari Mataji and other cooks, they make very nice gulab jamuns. Now, imagine, you know, if instead of eating one or two gulab jamuns, I eat a dozen gulab jamuns. So the problem it will be that next day I will not show up for my service. So, however, I can enjoy those gulab jamuns for an extended period of time if I am having maybe a gulab jamun a day. So this is a very clear example and very easy to understand. The only thing is that sometimes difficult to practice because it is very tempting. So same is here for the married life. There is another interesting incident, not exactly incident, but a mention Srila Prabhupada makes is about Dilli ka laddu. Laddu everybody knows. So Dilli is Delhi. Laddus of Delhi, they are very special. But Srila Prabhupada says, one who eats, in Hindi it is very nice, it says, jisne khaya, wo bhi pashtaya, or jisne nahi khaya, wo bhi pashtaya. What it means, the person who ate, he also repents, and the person who hasn't eaten, he also repents. So somebody asked, you know, what does it mean? What is, you know, why Delhi ka laddu is like that? And then it was explained that Delhi's laddu is compared with sensual pleasures. So those who are engaged in them, they are also not very happy. And those who are not engaging, say brahmacharis or people who are not married, who are not in grihastha ashram, they are always aspiring for it. They want to get married. So there is a story I heard some time ago, which I think is a joke actually, which I can share with you. It's interesting. So in India, sometimes the big politicians, they like to visit government institutions like hospitals, mental asylums and places like that. So once a political leader, he went to visit a mental asylum. And he saw one person who was put in an enclosure, was making very funny sounds, and he was crying and making different kind of sounds and all that. So this politician, he asked the superintendent of the asylum that, why, what's wrong with this gentleman? So he said, you know, he was in love with a girl called Mary, let's say. And, you know, Mary dished him, so he lost his mental balance. So he says, oh, so sad. And they walked further. And when, you know, a little later, they came to another enclosure, and there was yet another young man who was also very much in distress and crying, making very sad sounds, etc. And again, the politician asked the superintendent that, what is wrong with this man? So this is the man whom Mary married. So the one whom she did not marry, he was in distress, and the one whom she married, he was also ended up in asylum. So this is the life. If we are not careful, this is the kind of life one can lead to if we are not following the instructions provided by our scriptures or by our acharyas. So another interesting thing which I was led to believe here is, or discussion which we can actually have, is we have read in, I think, Nectar of Instruction about karma, akarma and vikarma. So what do these terms mean to you? Karma, akarma, and vikarma. We talk so much about these. I mean, at least we talk so much about karma. So I think everybody should know what karma is. Yes. That's absolutely correct. So when we perform activities according to Vedic injunctions, then whatever they may be, they are not going to, there will be a reaction, but it will not be a sinful reaction, because we are following the instructions given in our scriptures. Then we have vikarma. So vikarma is, vikarma is when somebody doesn't follow the Vedic instructions. In other words, a person who is totally in mode of ignorance, he will be engaging in activities which will be categorized as vikarma. And what is the result of engaging in vikarma? One gets deeper and deeper into darkness. You know, people drinking in bar, etc., or on drugs, engaging in, you know, unrestricted sex and all that, they are in this particular category. And then, of course, we have akarma, where we are performing activities, but we are performing them for Krishna. We are offering the result of our activities to Krishna, where there is no reaction at all. So our Srila Prabhupada explains that even we should strive to be at a karma platform. Because even if we are at karma platform, though we may not have, we may not incur sinful reactions, but they will be positive reactions. And even if they are positive reactions, we will have to come again in this world to enjoy them. And Prabhupada says that coming in this material world is in itself a punishment. So we should not really be happy that, okay, I'm working, I'm doing things according to scriptures provided in the Shastras, so I'm a very, very, you know, nice person. And I'm so happy, and, you know, I don't have to worry about anything. But Prabhupada says very clearly that even then, even if you have one good karma, for that you have to come in this world to enjoy the fruits of it, and then suffer Once we are in this material world, there are sufferings. So Prabhupada gives a very good example that in a prison house, there are different kind of prisoners. And depending on the kind of crime they have committed, they get different kind of punishment. So somebody will be in a solitary cell, so he has no contact with anybody as such. There are other people who are also in prison, but they can stay in a kind of, you know, dormitory, or they are together with other prisoners, so it is not so difficult for them. So depending on the kind of offense, there is punishment. So depending on our karmas, we will get a life. But Prabhupada says, it is a prison house. Whatever we may do, this material world, we are going to be facing all kind of difficulties in this material world. So while engaging in activities, we should then think of Krishna. And here also, Srila Prabhupada is saying, even for marriage, I mean, there is so much being talked about here in this particular purport about the marriage. But Prabhupada says, and this is worth making a note, the Vedic injunctions for marriage offer a concession to human society. The idea being that a man and woman united in a ritualistic marriage ceremony should help one another advance in spiritual life. So that is the aim of getting married for a Vaishnava. That what is the Vaishnava Dharma? To help others to progress in Krishna consciousness, to progress in devotional life. So even as a grihastha, our responsibility towards our spouse is how to help him or her to grow, to make progress in devotional life. And not just that, okay, let's have fun. Maybe one can have fun even in Krishna consciousness. And that is what we have to learn, how to enjoy whatever activities which we are doing for Krishna, how to enjoy them. Number of times we find devotees are engaged in activities, some services here in the temple, but at a personal level, they may share with you that, you know, there are a lot of austerities, they are not very happy, and so on. So then the service, it's not a service anymore. It's like a punishment. If you are not enjoying something and you're doing it, it's not, it's a punishment, in my opinion. So one has to develop that mood that whatever we are engaging in, in the service of Sri Kishore Kishori, it should be done in that mood that it is a service, and we should find pleasure in it. We should get happiness in that, because we are getting the opportunity to serve their Lordship. A number of times I have heard that only when someone is very, very fortunate that one gets the opportunity to serve them. They are not dependent on us. We are dependent on them. Even when we were not there, they were still getting served. So if we are getting that opportunity, we should really be very, very happy that it is coming our way. And finally, I noted down a statement which is really made a lot of impact on me. It says that when engaged in materialistic activities, one has to be extremely careful. Otherwise, it can easily turn into a sinful activity. So when I was trying to meditate on this, I came to the same conclusion that if any activity in this material world is performed according to scriptures, it is helpful. It will keep our consciousness good, and it will help us to make progress. If we follow our scriptures, if we follow the instructions of spiritual master, if we follow the instructions of our superiors. On the other hand, if we engage in the same activities in an unregulated way, we are going to pay the price for it. So that's what I feel is the important thing to take home from this purport. So discussions, comments, questions, corrections. Is you don't have the mic today? We can hear, but people who are, you know, sometimes watching, not here, they can also benefit.
Thank you, Radha Raman Prabhuji. Couple of comments. Well, this last point that you make is very insightful and very important, I find, especially coming into taking the Grihastha ashram. We have to still engage in being involved in the material world and deal with the material energy. And as you mentioned, being under the protection of the instructions from the scriptures and the spiritual master, it keeps you safe while doing that. But it is explained that it's like a razor's edge, that if you get distracted while shaving yourself, you can cut yourself. So you can become sort of comfortable, or like a little, okay, relax. Is you really have to be focused on following the regulations and the instructions. Otherwise, in no time, something you can be affected. So I appreciate it very much that you brought that point. And also appreciated Srila Prabhupada's purport, that he focused on the position of the devotee following what you say, you know, the religious instructions and the regulations, you know, that are given by the scriptures and by the spiritual master, and how one can basically achieve some, you know, the results or this the purpose that the Python sage achieve by simply giving up all activities. So, but, you know, we recommended that you maintain your activities, but rather offer those results to Krishna, and then you still do a karma. You won't be engaged in karma. As a sage, he decided to give up all activities to not be involved in karma. So similarly, he has those two results, so similar results, two different approaches to have the similar result. And obviously for us, it's more, yes. It's a more realistic thing, you know, to...
Srila Prabhupada says that when we are born in this material world, we have to engage ourselves in all kind of activities. We cannot escape from them. And if somebody tries to escape, it is just artificial. And even in Bhagavad Gita, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, gives the same instructions to Arjuna also. When Arjuna wants to run away from the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna tells him, no, you have to do your duty. So when we are here, we have certain responsibilities, we have certain duties, whether as a brahmachari, as a grihastha, in whatever ashram we may be, we have certain duties and we have to perform them. And if we perform them under, like you said, under the protection of injunctions from scriptures, spiritual master's instructions, then fortunately, they will be in the category of akarma, or at least karma. So we are not really going to suffer the negative reactions from them. There's another interesting incident, Rupa's quotation I am reminded of. I think he was talking in Bombay, and he says that what is the difference between this building in which he was addressing we are staying and the building next door. And he says that if you look at it, mostly we are doing the similar activities. But what we are doing here in this building, we are doing it for Krishna's pleasure. And what they are doing is basically for sense enjoyment. So that is the big difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Even though the activities may be similar, but the mood and consciousness with which they are being done makes all the difference. Thank you. Yes, Mataji.
Radharaman, we brought up a very nice point that Vaishnava Dharma is to help others, particularly in their spiritual life. So, a question came to my mind because you had painted the picture of the chaos that results in society from not following the scriptural regulations or rules. So I guess the question would be the righting of that chaos or the elimination of that chaos, is it best achieved by a body of persons following the rules and regulations, or those same persons reaching out to a population that's living a vikarmic lifestyle?
Can you repeat your question?
Okay, it's broad. The question is, since you had painted the picture of the chaotic social life from persons that are neglecting to follow the Vedic rules and regulations, the injunctions in scripture, based on that point that you made, the question came to my mind, is it that the chaos in society can be better, can be eliminated or righted in some way through the persons that are following rules and the Vedic rules and regulations and also are living an akarmic life? Is that the benefit for those persons living the vikarmic lifestyle, or is it of benefit to those persons living a vikarmic lifestyle if the persons that are living the akarmic lifestyle are reaching out directly to them? That's the question.
So I feel as Vaishnavas, we have to set an example for others. That is one part. And then secondly, then people will observe that these people are so happy. There was a story once, speakers said here on Sunday feast, that there was a criminal somewhere in California, and he was in prison. He was arrested and he was undergoing some punishment in prison. And then he managed to escape from the prison. And he ended up in ISKCON. And he started living there. And he liked the life in the temple. And he was living there. And he was doing services, attending classes, and going on Harinam, and so on. And then He would hear every day Srimad Bhagavatam class, and eventually it came to him that he became so honest that he himself went to the authorities and surrendered. So the judge was very surprised. He said, normally such criminals, they don't come on their own. The police has to, you know, fish them out somehow and bring them to us. So how come, you know, this man is here voluntarily? So he asked him that, you know, you escaped from prison 2 years ago or 3 years ago. So what have you been doing in this period? So he said, I went to this institution called Hare Krishna. So the judge asked, you know, what this Hare Krishna, how is your life there in Hare Krishna? How it motivated you to come back and, you know, surrender voluntarily to the authorities? So he said, they live a very, very regulated life, but they are so happy. And I was also very happy there. So he said, please tell me about that life. So he said, we get up in the morning around 3, 3.30. We take a cold shower. After that, we go for some, you know, services in the morning. Then we are listening to some scriptural classes and so on. After that, we go for book distribution. When we come from book distribution, I wash pots in the kitchen. And then I get a little time for my, you know, reading the scriptures. Then in the evening, I again do some services and then I go to bed. So he said, you better stay there because that is more difficult than staying in the prison. So the idea is that if we are happy in what we are doing as devotees, others will also get inspiration from us. So, and that's how they may be motivated to change themselves. It is very difficult to, you know, today, even as young kid, you cannot make him do things by force. Even if you, you know, somehow, you know, manage to do that, it is just like he's doing it just because you are forcing him to do. Voluntarily, he will immediately switch back to whatever he was doing. On the other hand, if we set an set an example for the child, then he will learn it. Then he will do it. If he sees the point, then he is going to voluntarily do that. A very good example, again, in the modern context is watching television. So most of the parents, you will find, have problem that their children watch too much of TV. Okay, now, of course, the best solution is not to have TV at all. So then there's no problem. But then the children will go to their friend's house and watch it there. So, even if you have TV at home, if we set a good example that we ourselves are not watching, you know, all rubbish and all kind of those programs, then the child will learn also the same thing. He will be, you know, growing in a disciplined way. That, you know, this is not something which I have to do. Maybe I have to only see some special programs, like, you know, watching maybe some news or some, you know, science, what do you call that, National Geography or something like that. So it could be, we could set an example for our children and other members of the society, and we can, I personally feel that if we are doing it sincerely, it is definitely going to motivate others who come in contact with us. The problem is that most of the time we ourselves are not so sure. There was another side of it, is that number of times we get opportunity to discuss some issues with other people, which could be devotees and even non-devotees. And when we give them some suggestions and recommendations, they are generally idealistic, which perhaps we may not do ourselves, but we are telling others to do. So then it doesn't really have any impact on the other person, because if something which I am not doing myself, how can I, you know, influence you or inspire you to do it? So first, I have to lead a proper life, and then I can expect others to follow. Thank you. Jitendra Prabhu has some comments.
In the Christian tradition, they say practice what you preach. And it's also like a hypocritical way of saying is do as I say, but not as I do.
Yeah.
And then you heard about the candy person that sold candy. Prabhupada says, you know, he's telling somebody not to eat the candy, but he's, you know, if he, or not to smoke, but he smokes. Mm-hmm. And, oh, then he also says, Prabhupada said, the news is stale before it comes out.
So, yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to get, you know?
That's why they say here breaking news.
What's that?
Here they say breaking news.
Yeah.
So because once it is broken, it is no more news.
Also, news means north, east, west, and south. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people don't know that, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, thank you.
Thank you so much, Yitindra Prabhu. Any other comments? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.